She means it genuinely, but in the way that she can. You know, not in the way that I think that most people would understand, you know, what a relationship is or, like, love is. I don't know if she might have a very different understanding of that because of her adoption experiences. Definitely. So, yeah. I mean, take contact, but that's definitely a distant one. I think that's basically how she is with all her relationships in her life, you know. So even aside from her adoptive family, like, I have no connections there whatsoever. In terms of my mom's, you know, adoptive family, biological family, my brothers and stuff like that, it impacted us. You know, being, you know, Native and, you know, going to the white schools and, like, not really knowing that whole half of who you are. You know, yeah, and then people would know. They would look at me and be like, oh, and they would, it's funny that there were some adults that could even pinpoint that I was actually Cree, based on my bone structure and whatnot. So it was just really funny, and they'd be like, wow, it's interesting how a stranger could know more about me than maybe in some ways that I did, you know? You know, so that was kind of interesting in terms of, like, the effects of, like, the 60 scoop and whatnot, stuff like that. And, but yeah, you know, anything that I know was definitely shared by my mother. It was only in very little bits and pieces. You know, and mostly from my dad. He said before she was 7, she went through several foster homes. There was some abuse there, from what I understood, from my dad. My mom never said anything about that. But then again, I could imagine, you know, that there was some, because we were never left with a home with babysitters. Never. She never left us alone with me. I can say that with my mom. We were always with my parents. Like, always with my parents. I can say that. You know, distant parenting on my mother's part. You know, my dad sometimes, yes. You know, there was alcohol and things like that, especially when we were younger. I kind of, you know, I think that she has faded that out of her life in the recent years, so I'm kind of glad for that. But yeah, we were never left alone with babysitters. Ever. And she would never let my dad discipline us. I have to say, me and my brothers were very unruly. But it was we were very poor, you know, in poverty. Like, you know, where my bed was like a mattress on the floor, kind of poor, you know. We wore hand-me-downs, my cousins, things like that. You know, sometimes we'd go to lunch with, like, you know, a jam sandwich, maybe an apple and a drink, you know, and that would be, like, consist of our lunch kind of thing, you know. I never had, you know, the brand new clothes or things like that, so. For myself, I think that, you know, reconnecting in terms of, you know, the Aboriginal community and things like that, and focus my work, my research, my love into that, you know, my passion into that kind of work has fostered that healing for myself. And reconnecting to Irma Skin, you know, too, it has helped as well. You know, talking to some people from there and things like that. And, you know, for my mom does not view herself as a victim, and nor do I, actually, of the system. She's very much, like, a very, like, very sweet but powerfully spiritually person. She's a very strong person and things like that. And she'd be the first one to stand up and defend someone who couldn't for themselves. And I think I learned that from her as well, you know. So we're a little outspoken when we should be and whatnot. But, yeah, she definitely, there was, I definitely wouldn't. And that's how she sees herself. She doesn't see, you know, and she does see some, the adoption wasn't all bad. She says she definitely has a lot of power, positive memories and things like that. And she's not sure how she would have fared had she stayed in Habima either, right, as a child. How would it have been better? She doesn't think so. So, yeah, the 60 Scoop has shaped my life, my family's lives, you know, in both positive and negative ways.
Hello and welcome to 433, program hosted by yours truly, Gregory Gann, on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Currently listening to Chris Paul Harmon, the track called Globus Hystericus from 1992, with Christina Petrovska-Kilico on piano. Thank you.
Thank you.
You just heard Chris Paul Harmon, and that was the track from, well, his self-titled CD released by Centra Discs, track number one called Globus Hystericus. And I wanted to sort of predecess the next track by saying a little bit about the composer. I'm going to play something by Jordan Nobles. I hope to do an off-air interview with Jordan sometime this week. I will likely travel to his home in Deep Cove, which is in North Vancouver. Jordan Nobles is currently the artistic director of Redshift Music Society. And I wanted to tell you about a concert that's coming up on November 17th. It's going to be a four-hour marathon called ChamberCon, and you can find out more by going to the Redshift Society website. In any case, the track I'm going to play is going to be called The Stones Underwater, track number four from 2008 from the album Undercurrents. And this is Music of Contact performing Jordan Nobles. Thank you. That was Stephen Drury performing music by John Cage. Music for Marcel Duchamp from 1947. The album is In a Landscape. Next, I'm going to play one of our more famous Canadian new music composers, R. Murray Schafer. This is... again, from Canadian Music Centre's Centre Discs label, titled Three Solos, R. Murray Schafer. I'll play track number 2, Le Cri de Merlin. It's a 16-minute track with Tim Brady on electric guitar with tape. You just heard Armory Schaefer. That was Le Cri de Merlin, Merlin's Cry, with Tim Brady. Oh, Armory Schaefer's still going. With Tim Brady on electric guitar and with tape. After a few short announcements, I wanted to play something for you from Orchestre Métropolitain, Volume 2. With Walter Boudreau conducting. Now this is Linda Bouchard with first track on the CD called Elan.
Timber Concerts presents Teen Days with special guest camp counselors Saturday, November 9th at the Electric Owl. Tickets are available online at ticketweb.ca or at Red Cat, Zulu, and Beat Street Records. For more info, visit asylumplanet.com and timberconcerts.com.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
The Carl Sagan Association for the Communication of Science is pleased to present screenings of Carl Sagan's Cosmos series, held twice per month on the UBC campus. Through these and other initiatives, our goal is to promote interest and engagement with the sciences on campus and in society at large. Visit ubcsagan.org for showtimes and other events.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
Out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Has mental illness or addiction touched your life? You might be interested in coming out to the Kaleidoscope, UBC's first and only student-created, peer-run mental health support group at the university's Vancouver campus. They offer a stigma-free place for people to share their stories with others going through similar experiences. The Kaleidoscope meets every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Center for Student Involvement in Brock Hall. Learn more at the-kaleidoscope.com.
Thank you.
And that was Orchestre Metropolitain, Volume 2, with Walter Boudreau conducting Linda Bouchard, first track, Elan. You've been listening to 433, a program dedicated to new music on CITR 101.9 FM. And I am your host, Gregory Gann. We have time for just one more track. If you have any questions about the show, please don't hesitate to contact me. My email is theoryofhappiness@yahoo.com, or visit my website, theoryofhappiness.com. Coincidentally, the website is about a film that I made, but it has a section dedicated to the radio show. The last track I wanted to play for you is from Phases, Steve Reich, and this is Different Trains After the War. Thank you so much for listening. This has been 433 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
New York. Thank you.